Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Today we have a really special guest, a wonderful friend of mine. Her name is Laura Kelly. Laura will be talking to us about mindset shifts when it comes to body acceptance, body neutrality, what that even means. It's a new term for me and the girls. So we were really excited to dive into this topic because we do get a lot of questions about it. And it's something that we all struggle with and deal with on a daily basis, is accepting and loving ourselves and our bodies as who we are in a world where this can be a challenge. So we're so excited to have Laura on the show. We hope you love this conversation with her. Laura is a mindset and body acceptance coach. She is also the host of an awesome podcast called You May Not Like It. I will leave all of her details and links to her podcast in the description box below. Let's jump on into today's conversation.
Wow, we have a very cool guest here with us today. Sorry, I'm just taking over.
Our first guest.
Oh, it's time.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. This is it's an industry where I feel like sometimes these two conversations are totally separate. Conversations about how we feel about our bodies and then conversations about our decisions with clothing. Usually these conversations are had in one very specific angle of how to dress for your body type so that you fit into all of the standards. So I just think we're going to have like a little bit of a different combo than that today, which is exciting.
Yeah. It sounds refreshing. I'm here for it.
Me too.
Yes.
So Laura, you are a mindset and body acceptance coach, but can you like tell us a little bit about how you got there? I know you're also a creative, you're a photographer. So just give us like a little bit of a background. And I want to know like within that, like, I mean, I know you personally, but tell us like what gets you up in the morning? What excites you? Where like
Well, I have learned that I can't take all my dreams and just put them aside. I have to get up in the morning and move the needle in some way on that. I have to show up to my creativity in some way. So the very first business I started was as a photographer over 12 years ago. And I ran that business and had such an amazing time doing that and learned so much about people by photographing weddings. It actually impacted my second career more than I thought it was going to, what I learned from that. But I arrived at this moment of realizing I don't think I want to be shooting weddings when I'm 40. And yet I've learned about myself. I need to have some kind of creative outlet. I need to have something that is, like you said, getting me out in the morning, something that I can be getting my hands dirty with creatively that feels like an expression of self. And so I thought, oh my gosh, if there's going to be a second business, A, what is that? And B, can I get a head start on it? If I know that it's kind of in my horizon, can I start putting the pieces together? So I decided to start a podcast, and I had the podcast be a way to document this experience of figuring out what I wanted my second career to be. So I've been very honest with people on a podcast called You Might Not Like It about what it looks like to be just unabashedly chasing what you really think is your, almost like your dream job. I had the time and the patience to know I could still keep shooting and I could be looking around for what it is I wanted to do. And in that process, just the unfolding of self, learning about me to figure out what I wanted this job to be, steered me into coaching, although it was a little bit more business focused at first. And I very quickly, in that one-on-one coaching relationships with clients, helping them, you know, learn blogs and social media and things like that, I learned that what was happening in your life was showing up so much in your business. So it steered me into a direction of personal coaching. So self-acceptance coaching, self-worth work. And then on the sidelines from that, I'm healing my body image story on my own. And it started to feel like those two worlds shouldn't be as separate as they were. I had clients who were watching me do that, and I was talking about it very little because it was so, for my whole life, I wanted my body image to take up zero space. I wanted my body to take up zero space. I've always been in what you could call a bigger body, And I have always felt like I just wanted it to not show. I wanted it to not be seen. I wanted to stay very still. I wanted to not move, not dance, not be seen by really anyone. And I wore clothes that just kind of covered and disguised my body. And in the process of going in and doing some of that work personally, my clients could see those shifts and they were starting to ask me questions. How is it that you are starting to feel more comfortable in your body? I hear you talking about that on the podcast. I see that happening. And I felt very inadequate to be a person to help others do this when I still had such a disordered relationship with some of the pieces of the puzzle here, food, movement, you know, getting dressed, style, all of these types of things. I felt like I'm not in a position to be able to teach that. And I also felt like the only experience I had was my own. So I went through a process of getting certified as a body acceptance coach because I just felt so much that the people I was working with were asking this from me. And I was able to let go of my own imposter syndrome with it and say, wait a second, I have a very rich lived experience of 17 years of restrictive on and off dieting. I've done everything under the sun and then really found myself with a body that felt like it was fighting me. And I had a deep desire there to change that relationship between my body and myself, to just make it feel different to feel in my existence. And when I think about the wedding photography business, it's so wildly related here. I have been in the room so many times with people while their children are getting married, meeting the mother of the groom, the mother of the bride. And I started to see over and over again, it really didn't matter what our mother of the bride or groom looked like. She could have her body image issues taking up a lot of space in the room to the point where I saw it was detracting from her experience, just immersing into the experience of being at her child's wedding. I saw these moms being so worried about their arms, unable to show them, so worried about taking off a shawl or that their dress was too tight or that it was a stressful process. And I was looking ahead to my life and thinking, well, I'm glad I started looking for my second career, but also I really don't want to have that relationship with my body when I'm older. So it was another place in my life that was sort of calling for my attention. So now I work with clients one-on-one. I still do a little bit of photography. I still do a little bit of small business coaching. I still do a little bit of body acceptance coaching, kind of doing it all under one umbrella and just letting that journey find me. That makes sense.
Wow, yeah. Totally.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah. Laura, you're like a multi, well, I mean, I know because you're like very multi-talented. So I think it's awesome that you get to help people now on that level.
Yeah, I like to have my hands in a lot of different buckets. Yeah. But then I also find that what's happening in my life, I can't help but bring it forward and out into what I'm doing. So it was a long journey to go from that moment of saying, I want to have my relationship with my body change, to actually feeling the changes. And it's not a quick process. It's not an easy process. It's not a linear process as well. You have multiple moments of feeling like you're moving forward and then moments where you're taking steps back. It's also a really challenging area of work to focus on when there is an equally loud voice that's saying anything that you do here is a waste of time because you're going to regress into a body that you don't love if you let go of some of these rules that you have with yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing more damage than good. You're going in the wrong direction. Everything in my whole life leading up to that moment of deciding I want just to feel different in my body was about trying to make it smaller. So trying to be okay with the body that I was in was a very foreign concept for sure.
Sina, did you have a question? I feel like you had a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask because you said that you didn't feel ready to like share your own experiences with clients. Like, are you using your experience more today? Like, because you know, you often hear people say like you are allowed to be a work in progress and still teach others.
Yeah. And I think there was like this big roadblock to it, which was just that I didn't even want my name attached to this work. Like, I didn't want somebody out there in the world that I knew or didn't know to think Laura Kelly, body size, body acceptance, self-worth. Ugh, those felt like terms. I'd rather put photographer behind my name. I'd rather put writer behind my name, coach behind my name. But those words, that identity, felt very intimidating because it was just an area of my life that for so long I've just tried to like scoot off stage left. And really, you know, all the people in my life would say, you're such a confident person. I am a very confident person in myself, but my body has always felt like the part that didn't fit into that. So now I went through the process of just writing down what I would say if I had six or seven people in my living room here asking me, how is it that I start this process of feeling better about myself? How do I make it a little bit more peaceful to exist in the body that I have? I just started writing it down slowly. That's kind of my own method. I'm a journaler. I'm a writer. I've been writing things down for a really long time. And I just started putting it out. And I allowed people to go in and start to do that work. So I deliver these emails to people right to their inboxes. They don't have to sign up for a course or log into Zoom or anything. They just get to have an email that pops into their inbox that allows them to read about somebody else's experience and see their own through it. This is the thing with this kind of work. It's so personal. So my body image story is so different than the person that I might be working with who might have a really complicated relationship with their medical history. I see a lot of people in this program who are talking about PCOS and their relationship with their body as it pertains to, should I take a drug that's going to reduce inflammation, or is that going against, you know, is that going against me? I also am working with a lot of people who feel a resistance to the idea of being okay with their bodies because their bodies feel like they're not ready to accept yet. It feels like it's okay for somebody else to accept their body. They would look at anybody, right, who's got their kind of ideal body and say, well, I'm so happy for you that you can accept your body. I can't, because mine is not ready for me to love yet.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, my body is not ready for me to love yet. How do you get to that point? Like, whether it's based on your own experience or just general things that you learned, like, how do you change your relationship with your body? And you've spoken before, we've spoken before about body neutrality. And I feel like that was part of the process. And I would love to hear more about that, like how you got there.
So I see body neutrality as a pit stop along the way to body acceptance. And it's okay if somebody is saying, well, I'm never going to get to body acceptance. That's okay. That means that the body that you see in the morning, this is my definition. That means the body that you see in the morning, the body that you see in the afternoon, at night, really doesn't depend on the matter of the day, is one that you can say, this body is deserving of my love and respect. And so I'm not going to do things that betray what I believe is a level of respect that my body deserves. Body neutrality is a little bit more of an accessible pit stop on that journey, because it just says your body is less important than you think that it is. Your body is very important to you. It is your, it can be your temple. It can be, it's the vessel for your soul to do its soul mission. You can look at that in many different ways. But when it comes to your value as a person, your body just isn't the number one indicator of what you bring to the people in your life, what you bring to your work, what's stopping you from getting the thing that you want to get. It's just that we're taking it to be a little bit less important in the grand scheme. So one of the ways that you can start to get there is by practicing seeing different bodies as just bodies without having these labels of, we often will do this kind of personal hierarchy thing where we go, okay, my body is smaller than hers, right? Or we have similar legs, but I think that like my legs are a little bit smaller than that. Or I have that pair of jeans and I bet you I don't look as good as they do in that pair. Or why isn't this outfit showing up the way that it looks on the mannequin? And that feels like a betrayal. That feels like your body has done something wrong to you. And that immediately causes this kind of tension with self, this little scar that just says something about me is wrong. I'm not fitting into this mold of what I think I should. So I remember doing some very early on practice with body neutrality at the beach. I take my kids to the beach in the summer. We'll go on like a little Wednesday afternoon. I have the flexibility to make my own schedule. So we'll hit a beach day every once in a while. And just being able to practice looking at bodies and not casting a judgment of who that person is, and not letting somebody's body dictate whether I think that person is better than me, worse than me. It's just that these are bodies and these are people, and we can just have a little bit more of a neutral feeling about it. And so it comes back to practical ways too, like mirror practice of just saying, this is my body. Like I can put my hand on my body and say, this is my body. And I don't have to love it today. I don't have to go, this is my ideal number one body. In that email series, I have this little part where I say, like, I still know what Emily Ratajkowski looks like. Right? I still know that she exists, but I don't need to have her body to be able to feel like I can have the life that I want. I think so much of this is reframing that when you have body image issues that prevent you from doing things, being seen, having fun, trying new things, wearing new things, experimenting with style, when there are things that your body feels like it's not letting you do, there's an aspect here of kind of reclaiming and saying, I get to figure out how to move this body through my life. I get to figure out whether I want to let my body say that I can't do something or whether I'm going to try and figure out how to make that happen in this body. There's a reclaiming. There's a feeling of I'm coming back into my home a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So much of body image issues, which affect literally everyone. You wouldn't believe the people that I've stood in a room with in a nice, beautiful sequin, fancy gown who have been picking themselves apart top to bottom. People that you would think are just preparing for their child's wedding day going, well, thank God I'm a 10. I look amazing. I have no body image issues in the world. You just really never know where it's going to come from. And yet the biggest factor that I see in not having that sense of home in your body is being disconnected from it to the point that doesn't feel right to think about how you want to put clothes on. Doesn't feel right to think about how what you want to wear. Doesn't feel right to think about taking this body with you, doing fun things that you want to try. Doesn't feel right to think of having somebody be able to see you. And that feels like they're disconnected from who you are. Sometimes it feels like your body doesn't match your outside. And that creates this feeling of disconnection. So body neutrality just says, let's just see bodies as a little bit more neutral. And that feels like a more approachable place for people to start than right away going into like, your body is something to love. When for so many, that's, we've been told very much the opposite. Your body is wrong. You need to invest your money to fix it. You need to be doing everything that you can to change so that your body is not the way that it is. Mm-hmm.
So how would you, if somebody wants to get started and like they're very tired of being like, oh, I don't like myself in this and I feel like I need to shrink myself and I'm just so tired. And like they recognize that kind of self-talk and criticism within themselves. Where would you tell someone to start in order to start transforming their relationship and just building a healthier, more loving relationship with their body?
Well, tired is a good word to use. Let me just say that. Because a lot of times that's what it feels like is I'm at a point where it feels like I don't want to forecast 20 years and be in the same feelings with my body, especially because so many factors are going to come up between then and now. Our body skin is going to change. Our body size is going to change. Our relationship with our strength is going to change. Aging, all of these different factors, potentially injury. I also, in the middle of this 3-year experience, went through like a major, major injury where I was unable to put any weight on my leg for almost 2 months. I ruptured my patellar tendon, was in a major recovery zone. And so that was naturally a moment of feeling like, my body doesn't feel like something that I can so easily take with me into my life. That feeling of being tired with the relationship you have in your body is how you know that there's an invitation from self to do something different. So number one, it's just listening to that. My personal experience was I was coming off of almost 2 years being on a keto diet. So counting every carb and being very diligent with tracking. And when I would, even if I felt like I was doing okay in keto, like it's very specific, the number of carbs that you can eat. So if that's a little bit higher, my body would gain weight. And I felt betrayed by that lack of control. And I felt like my body was fighting me. And that's what made me feel tired. That's what made me feel like I just can't keep doing this. The first thing that is that kind of next step at that point is to recognize that there's a different way. And that different way doesn't mean you first have to change your body. A lot of people like to tie, I'm into the whole body acceptance thing. I'm into the idea of liking my body. I can't do it now. I do have to get my body to a place that is worthy and deserving of my love, and then I can do it.
Right.
And that first kind of invitation is to say that this is going to be a longer journey, we're not asking you to do, well, no one's asking you to do this work. You're asking yourself to do this work. We're not asking you to do an on and off flick of a light switch to change your relationship with your body. It's going to be a long time. So a couple things that you can kind of notice early on in the beginning is that these negative thoughts that we have, I like to think of them as this little radio that kind of exists in our head that has these two volume knobs of positive and negative thought. So if our negative thoughts are showing up constantly when we're in the middle of the day or adjusting, fidgeting our clothes, that was another thing I was tired of, is just constantly needing to be aware of how my body was presenting to the outside world. It was just literally tired of that feeling. And so I started to tune into those thoughts just to make them a bit louder, listen in a little bit on what shows up when I'm standing in front of the mirror, what shows up when I'm in a change room. I've had a pretty messy relationship with change rooms over the years. I have memories crying in a bathing suit with my mom at the age of 12. And she's like, come on out and show me. And I'm like, no, I can't. None of these fit. It's hot. It's like claustrophobic. It's, you know, that can really impact the way that you feel when it comes to something like shopping, something like getting dressed in the morning. And so to notice those thoughts allows them to be a little bit louder. And then on the flip, we have this volume knob of positive thoughts that say, your body is not the most important thing about you. Hey. Your body is not an indication of your self-worth. The person that you're meeting for a coffee date is not there to hang out with your body. They're there to hang out with you. And sometimes those positive thoughts are so quiet that we can't even hear them, or we don't even really know what they're supposed to be because it's been so long berating ourselves or comparing our body from what we think it is supposed to be. That will show up in an internal dialogue of, I'm not doing enough. I am not hardworking. I am not diligent. I don't have willpower. I'm not strong. I'm not doing enough to change my situation for the better. So if we don't have a volume on those positive thoughts, we need to inject that somewhere. So when I have this free email program that comes right to your inbox, those emails that show up in the morning, whether you read them on your bus to work, whether you read them in, at night in your bed, whether you have them read to you by someone else, those emails are dialing up the volume on that other knob. The other thing that I did a lot in those early days is I got books into my life. There's a book called When Women Stop Hating Their Bodies. It's kind of an old, it's a little bit of an outdated book at this point, but some of the themes of just how we got here as a society and all of the things that are happening to create this feeling internally, and to just notice how it's not just you feeling that way. It's so good to get that information into your life. Listen to podcasts that have that kind of positive thought. So if body neutrality feels like a really interesting place for you to start, just search body neutrality in a podcast app. I know for sure that there's those first couple episodes that are going to pop up for you are not going to be episodes where someone's saying how terrible body neutrality is. That's not the conversation that's happening over there. So do whatever it is that you can to turn up the volume on your negative thoughts just to hear them so you know what not to breathe life into, and then find some kind of way to get the other version of that into your life. There's a lot of amazing podcasts and books that can just help to add new thoughts that might not have already been there for you by default if you didn't grow up with that type of messaging.
Yeah. I think even just having this conversation today, like with you, because I would say I'm pretty neutral with my body, but even when you, like, when you start explaining deeper about it, that is also like, it's not just the size of your body. It can also just be aging. Like, I'm 33. I'm turning 34 soon. Like, I'm starting to get like wrinkles on my forehead, which, you know, is perfectly normal and natural. But I sometimes, like, when I think deep about it, like, sometimes I stare back at myself and I'm like, oh, wow, that wrinkle's really gotten deep now. Like, it's getting to the point where it's like annoying me when I'm looking. I'm being a content creator and you like watch footage back of yourself, it's like, okay, that wrinkle on my forehead is really getting deep. And now, like, will other people start noticing it and like tell me that I'm starting to look older, or like, what's happening with your, like, I've even had someone say like, what's happening with your face? And it's like, okay, I'm just getting older, you know? God. Yeah. Or like indicating that I'm having stuff done, or, you know, yeah, just yeah, like, imagine. Okay,
it'll happen to you too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, and so I would say that I'm pretty neutral, but even now that we're like getting into the conversation, I can see that, okay, well, actually I could do better. Like you say, I could like turn up the volume of the positive thoughts a little bit more than I probably am.
Yeah, skin, aging, even just changing something like hair density is enough to just throw you into like, I don't know how to step back into that feeling that I used to have. Maybe we have ties to times where we felt in our best. And so we use that as almost like a baseline threshold of us like doing our best or showing up in the world how we want. And if we're every day continuing to get further and further away from that image as we age, as our bodies change, as we change, if we're consistently moving away from what we think is how we are supposed to be showing up in the world, we're only going to get more disconnected from our bodies. So we need to almost be looking in forward from that perspective and thinking that this is not something that's going to stop that feeling of looking at ourselves in the mirrors and having that changing relationship. So a lot of like what's at the core of this work, for me, mine's all started with how can I be okay with not being on a diet? Because a diet for me, I was able to recognize that being on a diet was immediate relief to that feeling of I'm not doing enough to have the life I want and be the person that I want. When I would step into a diet where somebody else would tell me, eat this, do this, follow this, I'd make a chart, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, how many days am I going to work out? All the months of the year, measurements, every part of the body, any of those things that feel like data, control, tracking. I used to be religious about a Fitbit. All of these things provide for me that feeling of relief that like, well, now I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing something and I can feel that sense of like, okay, I don't have to feel like I'm not doing enough. Mm-hmm. However,
this is like a control, like a sense of being in control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because the feeling of being out of control is if you don't have diligence for yourself, someone who I've been in some very disordered relationship meetings with Weight Watchers. I know too much information about calories in food from counting almonds and writing everything down for a lot of years and the macros of things and this and that. It's hard to get all of that information out. So when you consider what it would be like to just take away the good, bad labels with food, the same way that we did with the beach, looking around and just saying, these are bodies, these are people. And I'm just going to practice bringing this into my awareness that I don't need to be looking at other people's bodies and creating that hierarchy. That's hard to do with food as well, because everything that you've been told is if you don't have this control over yourself, you will continuously gain weight without an end because you are not able to regulate that for yourself. So what's required from that is to get tuned in again to your body's cues so it can tell you how it wants to be moved. That is such an empowering part of the self-acceptance piece. Like at the core of all of this, what we're doing is we're dissecting our physical vessel, hair, skin, aging, eyelids, body size, body shape, height, ableism, all of these things that are in our bodies. If we can disconnect that from our self-worth as a person, so that our body can change without it being an immediate change to our self-worth, that is like the bigger underlying thing that we're doing, is we're saying my value as a person is not about how few wrinkles I have on my forehead. My value as a person is not what someone is saying to me in those comments. We're just peeling these parts away. We've been told, and it's kind of what advertising does, right? Is say, you want this lifestyle. Here's the person who deserves this lifestyle. We put these two things together. She's the person who deserves to have those things. And I've gone into an old diary entry from maybe, I want to say 2013. And I found something that I wrote a long time ago that said, one of my biggest fears is I will never be able to move my body with joy. I will never be able to freely and joyfully express in the form of dance, jumping around. I'll never be able to move because I'm so self-conscious. Well, I wrote that back in the days. I wasn't actively working on that. Just wrote it down, moved on with my life, and kind of circled back to that writing 10 years later, realizing, oh, I dance all the time. I move all the time. I started doing this body acceptance work in 2020, and now here we are in 2024. And what has that given me? It's not just a different feeling of waking up in my body. It's not just a different relationship staring back in the mirror. It's not just a different relationship with clothes. It's also that I'm able to live differently. I'm just able to say, it really doesn't penetrate me if you can see me. And I don't really worry about what your perception of me is. I just pretend everybody else is practicing body neutrality too. I just pretend everybody else is at the, and if they're not, I know that that's so much more about you than it is about me. Mm-hmm. When I see someone with a bigger body who's like rocking an outfit that I would sometimes feel I could never wear that, hear that a lot in my program. I see these people do it like on these accounts and I think, wow, they look so amazing, but I couldn't. I've done some work on that concept and thought, why is it that I feel that that person looks so amazing in that way, but I can't give that for myself? And I think I've realized that it's because I feel like that person is okay with being seen and I just wasn't. And so to find myself just gradually moving in this direction and realizing I can dance, I can jump, I can move, I can really express joy with my body. I do that all the time. My husband and I love to go dancing. Like I do that all the time. That is like a real life practical shift that you can see in a big way. And when I think of forecasting out to my future, I can tell you right now, my jiggly arms, if that is what I feel like is my situation when I'm watching one of my kids get married, that's not even going to be present on the day. And that is something I feel like I bought for myself. It was just free. It was just like kind of a tortured mind process in the early beginning. But I think about how I got that for myself just by putting my energy and my effort here and recognizing it's a slow process.
I really like that. I've always thought about like the body acceptance, body positivity. My mind always connected it to like weight and body size. And I find it really interesting that it's so much more than that, like how you talk about strength and injury and you know, disability or like hair color and all that stuff. I think that's so because our body is like the whole scope of it, right? And it's, you know, there might be certain things that we struggle with more and less. And the other thing I'm really hearing is like it really is a way to just be present in the moment and like be with where you are and what you're doing. Because if you're distracted by like your arms or if your butt looks big in these jeans or any of that stuff, it takes you away from what you actually want to be doing.
That's right. And we also can't control what someone's going to think of us. So even if we got our bodies, and this is why it was kind of unrewarding to go through the process of on and off dieting again and again. And I'd find myself having lost 60 pounds and I'm 24 and I'm celebrating that. And yet I don't like I didn't like my body after it was okay. I still had like 40 more to lose. And that felt like my body was kind of saying, no, I don't want to we don't really want to do that actually. And I was tired and it starts to get harder as your body kind of like fights you on it. And like that feeling is so, it affects everybody. It affects everybody, whether you think that your body is deserving of somebody seeing and complimenting you. We really just can't control what somebody else is thinking. So my visual for this, listen, I was a very visual person. The visual is picture yourself at the beach. I really don't care what you're wearing. You can literally wear anything you want. You could wear something that feels like totally outrageous for you. You could be anything but naked because naked feels like it's illegal, but you can, unless you're on a nude beach, but you can picture anything that you're wearing. And I want you to think of how there's all these other people around you and you can naturally have their little speech bubbles of what's happening in their head. She looks this, he looks that, she should be doing more. I look better than her. It's noisy chatter. And when you're at the beach, there's a totally different way to be. If you look around and you realize that like you've just taken out all of those speech bubbles, it's just people at the beach. It's just quiet. And so presence is exactly that. It's being able to be like, I'm just at the beach right now. I'm just carrying my body around to the beach. Mm-hmm. I've even noticed that I was always a change in a stall type person. I just even noticed that just doing this work has naturally made me a little bit more like, I don't know, like I can just, I'm still not the, you know, naked scrubbing my body top down in the shower on the way to the pool kind of gal. But I think of that person and I go, good for you. Good for you. Just being able to be like, this is my body and this is where it is. We don't have to snap into a persona of what we think that this is supposed to look like. We don't have to jump anywhere. The idea is to figure out where you are right now and say like, what is just the next little step towards me feeling a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more at home in my body? You don't have to jump to something that feels extreme. And so even like, I think about this in a fashion kind of clothing way, my relationship with clothing was completely built on like, this body is temporary. So I am not going to invest in clothing for this body because it's not ready yet. And how I will dress when I have the body of my dreams, well, how exciting is that going to be? I can't wait till I get there and then I'll do style. Mm-hmm. That was me saying, this body is not worthy of my love, my respect, my attention. And because of things like a disordered relationship with being in the change room, sometimes the way that that shows up too is that I don't shop for fun. Like it's not fun. It's not super fun. It's starting to be more fun, but it's not the thing I go and do for fun. So what that ended up looking like was that anytime I needed clothes, I would just go and as quickly as possible complete the task of needing to get what I need for the very next event, which led to a wardrobe filled with options that say, this is the best I can do in this moment. And when you have a wardrobe full of options that just feel like the best you could have done, if what your goal is to just disguise the things that you feel are going to be triggering if other people see and talk about, right? That's the other vision, is like people are talking about your body. People have thoughts about your body. People are sharing those thoughts with others. That volume knob of negativity, you'd be shocked to hear some of the things that other people will say, and you'd have no idea that that's what's going on in their negative headspace. This program is really cool because I've been able to take other people's experiences, crowdsource, and then return some of the thoughts and responses in the program. So if we go into a topic about body neutrality and I've asked people to practice this, they come back and they share their stories of it. And we're looking at people who are in very different places in that journey. So it's really cool just to hear how different people, you know, approach this type of work. But to have that be the relationship with your closet, well, how do you then look at that closet and then say, well, let's have fun getting dressed. Let's wear something that feels a little bit more like you. Well, I don't know who I am stylistically because I've never really felt like I was in a body that felt permanent enough to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the opposite of a sustainable closet if what you're constantly doing is just finding like the option that works for the body that you have today and there really is no investment in that. It's a lot of cheap pieces that don't last. It's a lot of things that don't feel like you. It's things that aren't really designed or intentionally thought of as being able to go together because they're just there to serve that one purpose. I have to go to a pink bachelorette, so I need something pink for the bachelorette. I just have to like find that thing. My body is totally different last year than when I needed the blush pink for that bachelorette. So like, you know, that consistent churning over just makes it difficult to feel at home in your style. Mm. So again, this is one place where the default is to think I have to step all the way down that process into the kind of completed version of it. Like I have to move all the way from where I am now to this place where I should be with my relationship with closet. No, we just need to move one step closer towards having a more peaceful, more easy, more free relationship with self. So for me, that looked like actually sitting with for a moment, doing a little bit more research than I potentially ever would have in the clothing style department of where is my intersection between something that's going to feel comfortable for me? Because I know if it doesn't, then I am in that fidgety mode and I can't get my head, I can't become present. Christina, that's like the perfect way to put it. I can't be present if I am consistently fidgeting and fighting with my clothing. So when I say comfortable, I need to be comfortable in it so I can move in my body and feel a little bit more of that peace. But then when it comes to the style, well, what does my body want? How does my body want to be dressed? And if I'm working towards changing that relationship with self and get a year into it and realize I do feel differently about myself, it just allows you to approach how your body wants to be dressed in a different way. It becomes quite the opposite of trying to be invisible. It's how does my body want to be decorated today? And that felt like a big lofty stretch at the beginning. That only comes with time. And I know that that feeling of how does your body want to be decorated can be very intimidating to someone who's at the beginning of this process. But as you do this kind of work, your self-worth builds. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger in the background. And at some point you realize that that is the question that's being asked of you is, how do you want to be decorated today? And that's a totally different way of shopping and buying clothes than I've ever had personally. So Alyssa has seen my closet. I've done the Shop Your Closet event a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Alyssa's been in there. It's an evolving closet is how I describe. And so there are pieces that are still older that are in there. A lot of people have difficulty getting rid of pieces that feel like they are that's the direction that their body is, you know, they're trying to head, the pieces that don't fit, but they will one day want to fit. I have lots of thoughts about that. One of the emails in the email series is just about clothing. We go through and talk about how to work with this idea of having pieces that feel like they're valuable. You don't want to get rid of them. But just even recognizing that your closet is evolving as you do this work is sometimes just that first step to say, I don't need to go out and buy a whole wardrobe that perfectly. I just need to maybe move my wardrobe into a direction, which will happen naturally as you're making your body feel more like home.
Yeah, because I think that's probably the biggest struggle, right? If you have sustainability as like a high focus for you too, like at least that's what I sometimes get. Like my body is changing. Like how can I be more mindful about what I buy in this process, which is really complex, right? There's probably not one straight, like forward way of like dealing with that.
Totally. One thing that brings to mind just for me and my experience is I like the way you use the word mindset there, because I needed to put a little bit of mindset intentionality behind my shopping practices. I knew that shopping on the day before the thing I have to go to is, this is not how I move my closet into a direction that feels better for me. That's how I just complete the task off my list.
It's very high. It's a very high pressure.
Yeah.
High pressure, high stress.
High pressure. Exactly. Scenario, yeah. Yeah. And have you ever noticed that like if you're looking your best, you're like nicer to your dentist?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know,
let's talk about that.
My dentist has, there are days where I'm like, I'm not speaking to anybody today. But if we can tap into like the way that we show up, whether that is, I need to be wearing a very easy to get in and out of clothing when I'm shopping. I need to be in kind of a good mood. I need to be feeling like I prefer to shop for clothes when my legs are shaved. That's a me thing. It just helps me feel a little bit more when I'm in that vibe. I greet myself a little bit friendlier. I don't have to be in like a full hair makeup situation to be shopping, but it's taking that thought to the shopping process. It's, what music am I listening to? What bra am I wearing under these clothes right now? And okay, body acceptance work goes hand in hand with the underwear that you wear. Can I just say that? That's underwear is like a
underwear
really
is so important for yeah.
Point. Underwear is so important. And sometimes your underwear is the place, it's like the glaring place where you realize that your body is craving for you to be taking care of it better. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the place where we can just go, that is like a nice little thing that feels just for me. So all these little ways I think of just from the music I listen to being able to like quickly whip in and out of a t-shirt puts me in a very different change room experience than hauling on a turtleneck sweater, right? And wearing like a bulky pair of jeans and having that be my try on. I'm also trying to get really comfortable with like building some carts, letting things build in my cart, almost like I'm almost taking a view of I'm shopping throughout the season, and I'm realizing that I can return to a cart and go, I put that in, and that was aspirational when I put that in there, but now I'm like, yeah, okay. And it's another way to see that you're changing your relationship with your style too. So taking the care and consideration to just how you fold your clothes, what your closet experience is like, what your getting dressed experience is like. One of the emails in the program talks about physical touch and mirror work. And I have a client in there who has said that she was never in front of the mirror for long. She was always passing, checking. It was always about trying to make sure that she was okay. And since doing this work, she makes a habit of blow drying her hair completely naked. And that's just this like, that, I mean, that'll do some work for you for body neutrality too, is to just feel like you can look at your body, it's not so much of a jarring thing. Similarly on social media, if you are not following body types that have your body in clothes, it's going to be a jarring moment for you to see your body in clothes if they don't look anything like the images that you're using. So I'm a big fan of how on TikTok now people are getting really specific about body at all angles, right? People are showing like, I'm going to sit here, 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 and here. And you can see what this body looks like 360. So when you put it on, you go, yeah, that is kind of what it looked like. We have a similar body and she's wearing that and she feels confident in that. So part of this is, yeah, just kind of being open to the idea that if we change the way that we are showing up for ourselves in these areas, naturally our self-worth builds from there and these things start to get easier and easier. So my biggest advice would be like, don't try to jump way farther and then realize it doesn't feel good for me. It's not right for me. Let's just go like kind of one step further. You get used to that feeling of consistently pushing up against your comfort zone a little bit. When I first did Alyssa's Shop Your Closet, I was not comfortable with it. I was like, Alyssa going into my closet, like actually shoot me. But then on the second one, it was so much easier. It was so much easier. It was so much easier for me to bring these outfits down and show up. That's only what, maybe a year or less? Mm-hmm. Like these changes happen faster than we think.
It would be interesting to talk about how, like, as a woman specifically who likes fashion, or as women in general, in my opinion, at least up until like 6 months ago, my entire self-worth was wrapped up in my body. And so
that's literally all
I thought I had to offer.
So you just said that your self-worth was very much tied to your body. Is that different now?
Yes.
Okay.
Like
so
when
what happened?
You said things, I don't know, like a divorce, there was like a big health, really big health piece where I struggled like really, really hard last year with like what felt like my body fully betrayed me. And there was a lot of like shame wrapped up in it. Like I've always loved my body, like always, always. Like I've never had, but then it was when I had that kind of like health setback and failure. See, look, I'm still using the word failure. That's when I had to do the work. That's when I had to be like, Alyssa, like you are not your body. So like when you were talking about body neutrality and you said, you know, this person's not going for coffee with you because they want to go for coffee with your body. Like they want to talk to Alyssa. They want to hear the things that you have to say. So that those words that you just said were very like, those are words that I only just started saying to myself like very, very recently. So that's something that only just resonated. And I think it's so, yeah. And I feel, yeah, I think as women, it's so, like we've been, I really had to unlearn that like my body is not the only thing I have to offer the world. Isn't that horrible? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. But anyway,
it's
the truth.
It's so not horrible. It's so a byproduct of the entire mission of everyone who is available to profit from our feelings about our bodies, whether that is profiting in skin, hair, clothing, the car
that industry generated us.
Oh,
like that industry
gosh.
Generated that insecurity in us to begin with, and so they can sell it back to us. They can sell.
Yeah, it's not horrible. It's exactly what they wanted to do. It's exactly what they wanted to do. So the fact that there's somebody sitting in a room right now saying, "Okay, how does the stay at home mom want to feel when she's cleaning her house? What does she want to feel?" And there's a focus group right now, sitting in a room, saying, What is the most desirable version of that life that we can present? Who is she? What does she look like? And how can we give that to every stay-at-home mom so that that is their standard of what they're supposed to look like and feel like while they're cleaning their house? And that is to sell soap. So just even follow me on like anti-aging creams, right? There's an epidemic right now with like the youths being very invested in like Sephora skincare. The fact that it's like your 11-year-old is asking for that for Christmas. These, like, it's not by accident. So when I read when women stop hating their bodies. This was a really good text for that. This is where you realize that, you know, as much as we've changed some how we use these terms, I think the book is from like the 80s, but I mean, a lot of these things were still very much present in the 80s. And you realize it's no accident that this is how we feel, is that our body is the thing that somebody is judging us for. It's even just how we are as social beings. We place ourselves into a hierarchy. And what's fascinating to me is that somebody who can see my body in my clothes can make up a story about how I feel about my body. I'll be like, wow, like you must be really confident about yourself because you can dress like that. Meanwhile, I'm like, this is the best I think I can dress. That might be my situation on the other side. This is the most flattering I think I can look. And somebody else's story of that is, wow, how bold you are with your body. So no, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. And I bet we have two other stories here of changing relationships with body, realizing that self-worth is attached to body image, because it really affects everyone.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's not discriminatory. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it's interesting that just, and how do you separate the, you talked a little bit about, you know, dieting and control and like all these things that we can do to like change our bodies and feel in control of it. So how do you separate the, like, I feel like there's like a morality associated with that. And if you like can't adhere to, whether it be a certain body standard or a diet that you've put on yourself or any sort of, you know, parameters, if you can't stick to it, then it's immediately like, it's a moral failing. It's like the shame and I am bad and I have done something wrong. And like, we use the word failure. So how do you separate the morality from reality?
Yeah. You have to know what you're trying to get out of it. If the goal is just to be kind of like hopping on what feels like maybe a bandwagon of self-love, but you're like, I don't really believe in this and I don't really know what I'm supposed to get here, it's going to be unfulfilling work. So there's a very important step of saying, what do you want out of this? For me, I had this very tangible, I don't want my body image issues to be in the room when I'm at my kid's wedding. It's so specific, but I've been in that room so many times that I'm like, I don't want that for myself. I also don't want to be trying to lose 10 pounds when I'm 60. And I know that that is like a real thing that exists. So when it comes to how you allow yourself, we have to start with like, what is it that you want to feel? So recognizing that, you know, half of the battle here is to just recognize that there's another way to feel. That is the most important thing too, is to know kind of like what it is that you want out of it. And if you're not curious, if you're not sure yet, if you don't know why it is that you want to explore it, just start dialing up that positive knob, get something into your head, get a podcast, and there's going to be something that plants a seed. You know, I think about how all the memories that we have of looking back at, what are the comments that somebody said that hurt your feelings? What are the things that left little scars on you? We have had so many things told to us, and yet we don't really choose which ones we lock in and say, remember that forever, you know, keep that one forever. It's similar with things that are positive as well, meaning that there might be something that gets said that just gives you a sense of, well, that's how I want to feel about my body when I'm 60. That's how I want to look at myself in the mirror when I'm that age. And that might be just enough of a tiny little seed plant that just slowly starts to bloom while you're allowing that to just be open. So it's maybe that answer feels a little bit like you just have to wait and see. But so much of this work is the combination of time, just recognizing that your thoughts can evolve over time and being open to that. But if you don't know what you're trying to get out of it, it's not going to be fulfilling work.
So this maybe is something that, maybe something like crunchy that our audience and listeners can take away today. So let's say you know, you're coming away from this conversation feeling really inspired and I want to take a more positive or even neutral approach to my body and, you know, the vessel and the, you know, thing that it is. What would you say the self-talk could be to someone who is now going into their wardrobe and getting dressed? Like, what would you, and they want that experience to be something that feels more body positive and empowering. And like you say, like plant that seed to bloom from your own wardrobe, where like, let's say before you kind of maybe you always feel a little bit self-critical. There's an inner critic speaking to you saying like, oh, my jean size should be this much smaller. And I have all these tops that I bought because I don't want to show my arms. Like, what would the self-talk be to someone who wants to change that relationship while they're getting dressed? We can start with their wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. First steps first is let's give your body a voice. If we've been silencing our body's voice by saying, you don't know what's good for us, I will tell you what's good for us, we just need to give a little bit of agency back to that body. So asking the question, how does my body want to get dressed today? I can be a little rough with myself by nature, like towel drying my hair, like shaving fast, like, you know, just being rough with like putting on a bra, like twisting it around and just like hoisting everything through, you know, and I looked at that and kind of said, how is my body asking for me to care for it today? How does my body want to get dressed today? What does my body want to feel today? And if you think that every day that's going to mean you're going to want to show up in your sweats, it's not. Your body's going to ask you to decorate itself at some times. If you give it a voice, it's going to feel a little bit kind of weird at first, or it might feel like you can't really hear it. That's okay. You can't hear your body's cues. Just by you starting to say, you can have a bit of a voice back. Let me just tune into that frequency a little bit. There are answers there for each person. And so if that's that some of these clothes in this wardrobe needs to go, if that's your pile of jeans that you're going to one day fit into and that no longer serves you, that might be a part of your process. If it's to wear something that's pushed way to the back of the closet because it's been waiting for you to be a different, a more confident person of you to wear it, you might find that your body's asking you to wear it that day. And then so you can say, how is it that you want me to wear this? Do you want me to wear this in a way that still feels safe? Do you want me to wear this? And, you know, it's just giving your body back its voice. And we need our body to have a voice so it can say, I want you to move me. I want you to take me outside. I want to be in the sun. I want a tan. I want you to shave me really gently. I want to get my hair cut. I want new underwear. I want to not feel this feeling in my body. I want to not be this hungry. I want to not be this full. I want to be able to see myself in the mirror and feel that way. So tuning in to that frequency. Your body has a lot to say to you and communicate to you. It's just that in this process, we've dialed down its ability to communicate anything to us. And we've said, I know better. I'm going to listen to someone's Instagram infographic about how I should treat you. I'm going to take away your voice. I'm going to take away your agency. So part of this work is giving it back. And that's the harmony of it, right? If I talk about being disconnected from your body, this is returning back into it. I went and did a buttload of mushrooms in a yurt and asked for myself to feel more at home in my body. And I had a pretty cool experience with that, where visually I was able to see almost like, you know, like little slide from biology class, the little glass slides where you have the little dot and the little, okay. So I saw a slide, but standing up like vertically, I saw one slide for every year with myself inside of it, flattened like a little slide. And it was like this growing body over time. And I looked at the whole set. I think it was 32 at the time. Looked at the whole set and I pulled out a slide and said, what doesn't serve me from this slide? This is all like, I'm blindfolded in a yurt, like music, like Stranger Things soundtrack, nuts. And pull out the slides, did a little magic, like what needs to change here? What doesn't serve us? Put the slide back and could see the whole self from that perspective. So that, you want to talk about crunchy, let's go woo. That's pulling out each version of you and recognizing that they're already whole and we can put them back and see this as one being. So that disconnection can be any way that you return to a feeling of home in yourself. But listening to what you want from you is a big one.
I love that's fantastic. That's really helpful to me. It makes me immediately think of like, oh, I'm feeling bloated today. This is my body telling me that this is what I can wear to, you know, accommodate that and to acknowledge that. So
yeah,
something as simple as that.
Maybe your body loves that. Maybe your body like really wants you to just listen to its bloat and say, I don't want to wear these jeans. This is a sitting down event. I don't want to wear that. That's also okay. And, you know, as much as we talk about this being a really long process too, it's one where there's some sneaky moments of, oh, I've grown in ways that like I haven't really been able to see every day, almost like how your kids grow. And then you look at them and you're like, you're big, you're bigger, your feet are gigantic, you know, it's that, but with this long journey, how if we can disconnect ourselves from needing to have some type of destination where we say, now my body image is healed, because that's not what we're doing. It's a longer journey. But as much as we talk about it being long, there are going to be these moments where you realize, I feel very different about myself than I did even just last summer. So, you know, changes can happen. They just kind of happen like a little bit slower. It's not an instant gratification. It's very different in that way than a diet, than a, you know, 30-day shred, P90X, which is so like destination focused, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of this type of relationship with self goes back to those types of things, quick fixes, right? Immediate results, tracking progress. This is a looser and therefore more feminine, if that's the masculine approach to it, fix, produce, generate, solve. This is like allow, tune in, like flow, feel. Mm-hmm. That can be a little bit intimidating for people, especially if they feel they're going to go up, like off the rails with it, is kind of the way that I would use. And I can just say from my own personal experience, because that was my fear too. If I strip all labels of good food, bad food, and I don't tell my body what it can eat when, I will never, ever have a healthier relationship with eating. I just won't be an intuitive eater. I really felt that. And the coach I was working with at the time reminded me, she's like, it's just a normal thing to feel. That's okay. You think that, you don't trust your body yet. But if you give yourself a chance to trust your body and allow yourself to go through this, you might find you're really hungry. I was really hungry after quitting keto. I was really hungry. So for those couple of months, like I ate and struggled a little bit with feeling like this can't be the solution. Like this can't be the solution to me feeling so not connected to my body is to just let myself eat whatever I wanted. And it was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Once that phase kind of naturally resolved itself a little bit, I could hear my body's cues again. And my body really wanted me to care for it through food, through movement, through clothing, through my mindset, through self-care. So just by tuning in, you'll get a lot of answers from your body.
Okay. So I think that's a really great spot to end. Thanks, Laura. Like that was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I love these like little rapid fire questions at the end of interviews. So we're going to try this. There's not that many. Okay, here we go. Okay. What are you listening to right now? It can be music, podcast, anything.
I'm listening to the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack.
Soundtrack. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got to look that one up.
I'm in a musical zone. I'm listening to Tick, Tick, Boom soundtrack. I'm in my like, oh, I'm a real writer now kind of era. So I am like, okay. Yeah. I'm really experiencing my Jonathan Larson era.
Love it. Love Ben Platt. What's your favorite emoji?
Star eyes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Love it. If your friends could use one word to describe you, what would it be?
Probably party, because I'll never bail first. Yeah, and I'm usually like, I don't really get hangovers. Every once in a while, if I get a little bit of a hangover, I do feel bad about what I've done to my friends in the past by just kind of championing them to stay out for another round, since they do have the physical. I sound like what's her name, Megan from Bridesmaids, being like, I don't bloat. So. Probably party.
Awesome.
Would be the
party.
Word.
Party. Awesome. Dressed down or dressed up?
You know what? My closet is the pendulum swing of both. I'm either very dressed down or I have like the full other side. I do love to dress up and my body really enjoys being decorated in dressing up now. But for the most part, like it's comfy, cozy, cash over here every day.
Love it. Love it. What's the oldest item of clothing you own that you still love and wear the heck out of?
I would say I have a big collection of just like crew neck sweaters that I've had forever, big comfy campfire. The more campfires they can attend, the better energy that they have to them. So I have a campfire sweater that's probably been with me since like first year university.
Great.
But yeah, I don't keep I don't have like sentimental pieces. I left my wedding dress in the Dominican Republic after we got married. Amazing. I was just like, get it out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And well, where can our community find you?
I am on Instagram at laurakelly.co, and I put out writing all the time. Some writing is about body acceptance stuff. Some is about chasing your dreams and quieting your imposter syndrome and your self-doubt and going for it. My website is also laurakelly.co. And the free challenge, if you want to hop in and you're curious about this, is the best part, is you have nothing to lose. That was kind of the main motivator for me to be like, I'm just going to quietly deliver these right to your inbox. I'm still writing the series, but right now there are over 100 people who are taking this free program. The people who are at the very front of the line are waiting for email number 27. So there's a lot of good stuff coming for you there. You can find that at laurakelly.co/body acceptance. And great. Today can be day one. And it's really, I'm telling you, I'm not going to plunge you into something that you can't swim with. We're just going to take this nice and easy. You get to take this at your own pace. And you're really going to love also hearing the other stories from the people who have done this work before and shared their feedback along the way. It's just more powerful the more stories that we have, because there'll be something that you can find for yourself. Even though it's a very personal journey, it's nice to just have somebody else to look for it in that way.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much, Laura. We'll make sure to put all those details in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it was great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This was lovely.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!